The book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read the first five verses. The Bible says this: "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." Now I want you to notice, especially back in verse 3, it talks about there coming a falling away first. We often refer to that as the apostasy, and I'll explain why in a little bit. But I was recently just in my personal Bible reading, I was reading this passage, and something dawned on me that I hadn't really thought about in the past. And I want to share that with you tonight. It clarified, I believe, some things for me, and maybe will clarify some things for you. So, Lord, bless, please, the teaching of Thy wonderful Word tonight, I pray. And everybody said, Amen. Now, I want to give you a little bit about the historical background. The church at Thessalonica had been started by the Apostle Paul and his missionary companions. And you can read about that back in the book of Acts chapter 17. That's where the account is, the biblical historical record of the church being started is in that particular book of the Bible, Acts chapter 17, that chapter. Now, as you would read in Acts chapter 17, you would find this. Because of persecution, Paul had to be slipped out of town under cover of darkness. And thus, what happened was, he left behind a young body of believers in a very hostile environment to their faith. And he left them there without their under-shepherd. And so they're like young lambs, and they're very vulnerable to spiritual wolves. And there's always spiritual wolves out there seeking to devour the young lambs in the flock of God. And that's the case of these people. I want you to try to put yourself in their position. The man that won him to Christ, got him organized in the church, he's had to leave. And the reason he's had to leave is for his own safety. It's a very hostile environment to their faith. And yet they're very young in the Lord. Now, one of the things that always amazes me, when you read the books of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians is basically answering some questions. 2 Thessalonians is answering some more questions that were the result of what they read in 1 Thessalonians and so forth. But whenever you read these books of the Bible, this always amazes me. Now, though the Apostle Paul was only there in the city of Thessalonica for a very short time, it amazes me how much he taught these people. They were hungry for the Word of God. And he taught them a lot of wonderful things about prophecy and just the Christian living and so forth. It's amazing how much that they soaked in. But you know something, it's like everything. The more you learn about something, the more questions you have. Because you know enough to ask more questions than you did before. And so they learned a whole lot. But they have a lot of questions here. These were people that loved the Word of God. Now, Paul has left them behind, just this young flock of sheep, God's little lambs. He's left them behind without an under-shepherd. And he had barely gotten out of town before the wolves attacked with their false teachings. And among the things that the wolves taught these young believers was that they had missed the rapture. Paul had obviously already taught them about the coming of the Lord for his church. But there was these wolves that came in. They taught these young believers, said, "You've missed the rapture, and you've been left behind to go through the tribulation." And they are using all kinds of deceitful methods in order to convince the people of this. You look back at verse 2. He says that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word. Now get this, nor by letter as from us. Otherwise, people were saying, we've got a letter from the Apostle Paul, and it was a forged letter. And Paul says, listen, don't fall for these things. Don't fall for these things. And yet they were confused. Now, again, I want you to try to put yourself in their position. Here you are. You're a young believer in Christ. And your under shepherd has been taken away from you. And you have these people coming in, and they're saying, some of them saying, we've got letters from the Apostle Paul, your founding pastor. And they're saying, you know, we've got a word from God and so forth there. So we're perhaps an apostle just like he is. And they're telling them, say, you know, you obviously have missed the rapture and you've been left behind here in the tribulation. Now, here they are. They're in a hostile environment. A hostile environment. And you can see how that they, that from just looking around, it would seem like maybe there's something to this. And you can see how it would confuse them. I always find it fascinating today that people talk about, oh man, the Lord's got to come soon. Look how bad it is. Look how bad it is. Now, it's true that it is worse for us in America as Christians than it has been for hundreds of years. In some ways, maybe worse than it's ever been. But let me tell you something. Even as bad as it's getting for us today in America, we still have it better than Christians have had it throughout the history of Christianity. And we look and we say, oh my goodness, the Lord's got to come soon. Now, I believe the Lord can come at any moment. And I believe He's going to come soon. But I don't know that He's going to come soon. I believe He could, and I believe He is. But I can't get up and say, yeah, He's going to be here in the next 6 weeks. I can't do that. But boy, whenever I hear people talk like that today, I say, all you'd have to do is go across the sea and be in one of those countries, and you'd probably think you had missed the rapture if you had to live in those environments. It can get a whole lot worse. It can get a whole lot worse. So here they are. They're living in this environment, very hostile to their faith, and they were therefore very susceptible to this teaching. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing the inspired Word of God, he addressed their concerns here in 2 Thessalonians. And he assured them that they had not missed the rapture. Otherwise, the day of Christ was not taking place. And that they were not in the tribulation. He assured them of that by reminding them of two things that he said must happen before that tribulation actually begins. And those two things were in verse 3. He says, that day shall not come except there come, number one, a falling away first, and number two, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we know, of course, the man of sin is none other than the Antichrist. But it is that falling away that I want us to think about, especially tonight. That falling away is often referred to as the apostasy. I said this, I was going to talk to you tonight about what's commonly referred to as the apostasy. And that falling away is often referred to as the apostasy because it is the translation of the Greek word apostasia. And of course, you can see how that we get our word apostasy from that Greek word. If you study the etymology of our English word apostasy, it would go right back to the Greek word apostasia. And so, oftentimes, this falling away is referred to as the apostasy. Now, those who believe in the imminent pre-tribulation rapture, and that's what I believe, and I believe that's what you believe, amen? When I say imminent, I mean this, that it could happen at any moment. It could happen at any moment. I believe the Apostle Paul, right up to near the end of his life, was looking for the Lord to come back for His church. He's talked about we which are alive and remain. Otherwise, he thought, I'm going to be one of them that's here. All right? And it wasn't until right at the last days of his life, whenever that his tone changed a little bit there in the book of 2 Timothy. And he talked about he knew his time of departure was at hand and so forth there. But we believe in the imminent pre-tribulation rapture. Imminent means that it could happen at any time. Pre-tribulation means that it will take place before the tribulation. In fact, we probably are a minority as far as our conviction on that. So many people believe that the rapture is going to take place at the end of the tribulation. Some believe it's going to take place in the middle of the tribulation. And, oh, I guess about 20 years ago, there was a man that was a very well-known prophecy teacher that believed in the pre-tribulation rapture. And he changed his position and called it the pre-wrath rapture. And wrote a book on it and caused a good bit of confusion and so forth there. But no, we believe in its imminent, the imminent rapture and the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. But those of us who believe that, we have wrestled often with this matter of the falling away, or what is commonly referred to as the apostasy, because it seems to indicate that the rapture cannot take place until there is an apostasy within the church. In fact, I remember some years ago, not here as your pastor, but I had a prophecy conference, and I had this well-known prophecy speaker come in, and he preached every night on prophetic subjects. And on one night he preached on the imminence of the rapture, that the rapture could take place at any moment, and did a wonderful job doing so. And then later on in the week of meetings, he talked about the apostasy that was going to take place in the church before the rapture. And I remember thinking to myself, that's just not lining up. How can it be imminent and there has to be an apostasy within the church that takes place before the rapture? And I didn't ever say anything to the person, and nobody ever, I don't know if anybody else called it or not, but I thought, this just is not lining up. This doesn't make sense to me. Something is wrong. Now, the way that a lot of folks of our persuasion have dealt with this in the past is so they have tried to reconcile the falling away with the imminence of the rapture by twisting the falling away to be synonymous with the catching up or the catching away, which is what the word rapture means. And I know I was saved in the 70s, and back then there was a lot of teaching on prophecy, and a lot of books being written on prophecy. I remember the church whose ministries I was saved through, we had one big adult class, and the assistant pastor was teaching that class, and it was all on prophecy. I'd never heard about the rapture or anything until that time. And I remember I was just soaking it in. And they were referring to books like, LaHaye, I think, wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. Satan is alive and doing well on planet Earth. There was a man by the name of Salem Kerban that was writing a lot on prophecy. And a lot of other people that were writing a lot of books and so forth there on prophecy. And that's where I got introduced to premillennialism and pre-tribulationalism. And it was exciting for me. Even though I was brought up in my early years in church, I'd never heard it taught like that. It was more like, just the Lord's coming back, separates the sheep from the goats, and that was it there. And so it was all very exciting to me. And I remember reading some stuff about it. And even when I went off to college, I had to take a course called premillennialism. And it was required for those majoring in the Bible. And had to do a lot of reading and so forth there. But one of the things that I kept running across in the things that I was reading was this. They were trying to explain what this falling away. And they were saying that was the same thing as the catching up, the catching away. Otherwise, it was the rapture. And they would say things like, this word here, it could have been translated this way here. Perhaps it would have been more accurately translated. Things of that nature. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have never liked retranslating the Bible to make it fit our theology. I have never liked that. And most study Bibles you read, they'll do that. They'll say a better translation or a more accurate translation or something like that. And I've heard people preach this. Well-known preachers of prophecy, they would preach that, and I would think, no, you're changing the Bible to make it fit our theology. I believe that the Bible ought to determine what our theology is. Amen. And I said, no, there's something there we're not getting. Not something there. And then some years later, I was just preaching through the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I did that when I was in Alabama. I've done that since I've been here. It's been many, many years ago when I did that. But I remember wrestling with this. The falling away, the apostasy it was known as. How can this be if the rapture is imminent? How is it that there must be this apostasy before it can take place? And I sought to reconcile the falling away without retranslating the Bible. And my solution that I came up with, and I looked back in my notes to see how I dealt with this. And my solution was this, that the apostasy of the church will take place within that false harlot church that the Antichrist will ride into power upon after the true church is taken away. And so that's how I dealt with it in the past. It was not the apostasy of the true church, but it was the apostasy of the harlot church, known as the great whore in the book of Revelation, that will be left behind after the rapture of the church. And that's the way I dealt with it. And you know, something that may very well be the right interpretation. But what I want to do tonight is I want to give you something a little bit different to think on. Something a little bit different to think on. And here's a question I want to put before your mind. Something as I was reading, it just made this spring in my mind. And here's the question that came up. Is the falling away, or what we call the apostasy, something that will take place in the church? All of my life I've heard that it was. All it has. And I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it. And this third verse, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And I've heard it, and I've read it over and over since shortly after I was saved, that this falling away was the apostasy within the church. And as I was reading this recently, that question came to my mind. Is this a falling away? Is this apostasy? See, something that's going to take place in the church. Does it say it's going to take place in the church? It doesn't, does it? It doesn't. I looked at it and I said, no, I've heard this all my spiritual life. It's got to be an apostasy within the church. I've always assumed that it was talking about apostasy in the church, but the text does not say that. It does not say that. Then we have to kind of read that into it. In fact, it doesn't say exactly what the apostasy is going to be in or of. It simply says there will be a falling away first. And it does not say who will do the falling away. It doesn't say. Now, I begin thinking about that. And it just said, weighs on my heart. Weighs on my heart. I probably wouldn't even think about teaching or preaching this on Sunday morning. You know, a lot of folks wouldn't appreciate it, and I'd probably be a little bit confused. But Wednesday night, you love the Word of God. You're a little bit deeper into the Word of God, and I think you can appreciate wrestling with some things in the Bible there. But I began thinking about this, and I began looking, doing a little bit of word study. I said, I want to see this word apostasia. I want to see how it's translated in the Bible in other places. And here's what I discovered. That word apostasia is only used one other time in the Bible. And it's back in the book of Acts chapter 21. The book of Acts chapter 21. And in Acts chapter 21 and verse 21, here we have the Apostle Paul is being accused of something. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 21, it says, and they are informed of thee, that is of the Apostle Paul, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, when it says this, that word forsake, it's rumored that you've been telling the Jews that live among Gentiles to forsake Moses, that is the Mosaic law, and not to circumcise their children. That word forsake, it's a translation of that same word apostasia. That's the only other place it's used in the Bible. And you can see there kind of an idea, a little bit better idea perhaps, of what the word means. It is a forsaking, a turning away from something. And that's the only other place that the word is used in the Bible. Now, there's a word that's very akin to it that's translated as divorce in other portions of Scripture. But this is the only other place this specific word is used. Well, I got to thinking about that and reading some, finding what I could about this word. And I found this. There was a man by the name of Plutarch. He was a Greek philosopher, historian, and also a pagan priest. And he was a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. A little bit younger than the Apostle Paul. Paul was probably writing the book of 2 Thessalonians when Plutarch, shortly after he was born, maybe a few years after he was born. But Plutarch was a man. He wrote a lot of history and biographies of Greek heroes and so forth there. And in my studies, I ran across this. They said that Plutarch used this word. Now, keep in mind, he was a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. He used this word apostasia to describe a political revolt. A political revolt. Not a religious revolt, but a political revolt. Apostasia. A falling away. A rebellion. A mutiny. An insurrection, we could say. A turning away from that which they were would normally be the normal customs and so forth of the day. And I thought, well, now that's interesting. Now I realize this, that we don't let secular sources define biblical words. A lot of times the Lord takes a word and gives it a complete unique definition, such as the word church, ecclesia. God gives it a unique definition in the context of the New Testament. But we can learn some things when we see about how those words were used in other places at the same time. And Plutarch said, in describing, he used it to refer to a political revolt. Now, when I read that, it dawned on me that the falling away, or what we call the apostasy, may not be referring to a falling away within the church, but it may be referring to a worldwide political revolt. As much so, or even more so, than a religious revolt. And I never thought about it that way before. And I thought, perhaps, this is how the Antichrist will be able to become the ruler of the world. That could set the stage for it there. Now, I want you to imagine the possibility of this scenario, okay? I want you to just imagine the possibility of this. All the nations of the world simultaneously or almost simultaneously begin revolting against their governments. All of them do. You know, after the American Revolution, that inspired the French Revolution and so forth there. And it's inspired revolutions, some other revolutions as well. But that's often what happens is one revolution will inspire another revolution. Now, just imagine if all the nations of the world almost simultaneously decided to revolt against their governments. Imagine the chaos that this world would be in. Now, we're looking around us today, and here's what we're seeing. We're seeing a revolt taking place in China. I fear that's not going to bode well for the people that are revolting. It hasn't in the past for China. But we see people revolting in China. We see people revolting in Iran. We see a lot of revolting in our own country. We're seeing these insurrections and so forth. They're just popping up all over the place. All over the place. Now imagine if all the nations of the world just almost simultaneously revolted against their government. You know what that would do? That would open the door for one man to take control of the world. It would open that door up. Suddenly, all the governments have been rebelled against. They need a leader. And it opens the door for a charismatic figure to come in and say, I'm the solution to your problems. And then the Antichrist would be able to step into that political vacuum with promises of peace and prosperity, and he would be welcomed as the ruler of the world. Now, I'm not saying that this is exactly what's going to happen. I'm just saying it seems to me all of a sudden it kind of answers some conflicts I had in my mind about this thing. How can there be an an apostasy of within Christendom before the rapture, if the rapture is imminent. And I said, my goodness, what if it's not an apostasy within the church? What if it is a political apostasy just spreading all over the world, a rebellion against the governments there? Well, that would explain it to it right here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except, number one, there come that falling away, that apostasy. Just try to imagine it being a political apostasy instead of a religious thing. And with these apostasies, rebellions against the governments all across the nation, it opens door for that man of sin to be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, can you not see how the stage may very well be being set for these things to happen? I simply leave you with these things to mull over a little bit, all right? I've been thinking about them for some time, chewing on these things. And I think it's helping me to reconcile some things that I've had been unable to really reconcile in my mind with complete satisfaction. It's helping me to do that. But when I look at this and I realize all that's going on across our nation, all the falling aways, the apostasies, the insurrections against governments, it tells me things are getting set up for that Antichrist to be revealed. And we can listen. Therefore, I need to keep my eyes up. Amen? I'm not looking around at all the trouble and getting all down and out about it, but I keep looking up for the Lord Jesus Christ. I keep looking up for Him. I trust what I've said. Like I said, I hope it'll give you something to chew on and think about. And I think it's helped clarify some things in my mind, and maybe it will help you as well. Let's stand.